dance. Yeah. Right now I'm logged into Mark Farina's Mushroom Jazz 2. And yeah, we could let this vibe for a second. Yeah. I'm about to be a minute 30 and 18, 19, 10 seconds. Yeah. Welcome one more time. I'll drop the link cuts to what I'm listening to right now. Maybe that'll work. All right. I'm just kind of throwing timestamps and seeing what you can kind of flow to as we enjoy this together. It's been a little bit of time and I don't have too terribly much to talk to you outside of like all the interesting parts of traveling or kind of being unstill. One of the things that I've been wanting a lot is advice, right? Is suggestions, is insight, just people that have been able to live enough life and people who I regard and give me, you know, their aspects as to what's going on, what I'm doing and all these different things and contributing towards or, you know, building for the towards the rest of your life. You don't have a family, you don't have kids, you don't have blah, blah, blah. Don't live just because, don't live for living's sake. And that got me thinking about, you know, having a plan and having a direction. And even if it's the wrong one, I think that's maybe that's been a huge roadblock of mine is the fear of failure. And saying that out loud, giving myself the opportunity to fail, the opportunity to learn a lesson, giving myself the opportunity to understand that I know not, being in the shell of mine and being able to try to orchestrate my life as best as I possibly could has been fruitful to some extent, but it has been limiting as well. And this is something that I'd like to change for the better. And I know that being vulnerable is part of that, you know, leading myself to an uncertain reality. And partially, you know, part of that was moving. Part of that was relocating. Part of that was letting go of the life that I had in Portland and making a life somewhere else and figuring it out and being out here as long as I could and maybe not just here. And these are things that I do want to explore as well. But before I can do it outside, you know, it feels like I'm distracting myself from what's going on inside and what I'd like to think through, talk about, and just bring attention towards when it comes, just pertaining to myself, and hopefully other people can relate to this as well. You find the five things that you want to improve upon, right? You realize, you know, two of the things that you got from your last relationship, hey, you know what, I shouldn't be so stubborn, or, you know, I should be able to give somebody the freedom to make their own choices and blah, blah, blah. So third, as opposed to my tried and true method or directions or route for whatever endeavor. So those are two things that I could definitely tangibly say that I learned from my past relationship. And I don't think they're aspects of control. They could be, but it's more, in my mind, it's coming from a place of efficiency. It's coming from a place of, let's not have to reinvent the wheel. If I learned something and I like intentionally learned it, let me give you that shortcut. But you know, that can be received that way. It couldn't. It's just all about people's autonomy and stepping on someone's autonomy. And I think I respect that and I understand that truly. The other three things that I think I learned over the last year, I definitely learned in therapy about myself and not paying enough attention to that, you know, unresolved issues from childhood, unresolved issues from the past, unforgiveness or letting go of whatever has happened or working through whatever has happened. These are things, once you can identify them, you know, you work on them particularly. Yes, with somebody else, I think that someone else can shine a light while you work, but at the end of the day, it's your work to do. And so this creates kind of a limiting factor when it comes to therapy in my personal experience, simply because I think once I have something in mind that I want to really like mindfully work on, I, you know, hope to build everything else according with it. You know, it's that tide raises all boats, that common tide raises all boats or something like that. That neutral tide raises all boats. And if I'm looking to be the best, you know, communicator both ways, you know, having a dyad instead of a dialogue has been really a primary focus of mine, and paying attention to the reaction and where that reaction is coming from, and those closed offness, and you know, the prevention of vulnerability. I think a lot of people can pick up on that, especially later in life. And there, people have had enough experience with other people, I imagine, that have similar unresolved issues, and they can identify that pretty quickly or pretty soon on. And no, they don't want to invest in those kind of people. And I see that. I respect it for sure. And I don't know at this point in life how you can create a cornerstone relationship. Esther Perel has really opened my eyes to the two types of relationships that we've been having over these last, you know, 60, 70 years. And it is, it seems like it's maybe not even 60, 70 years. I'd say 30 or 40 years is a capstone relationship. People have their own careers. People live on their own until their 30s or later. And then they, you know who they are. They know what they want. They know what they're looking for. They know what like kind of life that they want to build. They find somebody, and, you know, whoever fits, you know, the top of that pyramid is, you know, something that's going to work for them perfectly. And that's called, that's a capstone, which is, you know, like the capstone of a pyramid. And on the other hand, a cornerstone relationship is some, or a couple of people or more, I guess, that decide to, you know, through whatever, you know, be able to really pledge themselves to the idea of saying, like, this is something that we're going to grow through no matter what. We're going to get our families involved. We get our friends involved. We're going to entwine our lives as much as humanly possible to find as many support beams as this thing needs to be able to be a successful endeavor, especially once we get, you know, like, you know, business involved and things like that. So those seem to be cornerstone relationships. Both of them seem dope. I think I would love to be able to have grown up with somebody. I look at all my friends that have been married since like after high school or something like that, or that have been together and been long-term friends, you know what I'm saying? I'm just like, or not even long-term friends, have actually been in relationships together to where they know each other now. Like there's no surprises. They know exactly when each other's doing whatever. As long as they've been mindful about it, I think that's really exciting to be able to still be excited about, you know, your third or fourth child together or something like that. I think it's beautiful. You know, I would love to have that or have had that. And at this point in my life, I think that, you know, if we're pushing, 80, then yeah, I would love to get to know somebody now and to really like pledge myself to that idea of, yo, no matter what, you're really going to be two people who, you know, make this thing happen. We're going to be two people who invest in each other fully, who are going to be committed, like for real. But life happens, you know, and being able to leave space for that, being able to leave grace for that, for people to disappoint you, for people to be people, to choose themselves over the relationship at times, and to deal with that for however long that lasts. And just the more you know, the more you know what you're risking, especially those of us that have had to really fight for our autonomy. I learned that is something that I hold in high regard simply because of that little kid, you know, simply because of that 10-year-old, that 8-year-old, that 6-year-old who was just never going to do exactly what she wanted him to do. So he was a disappointment. He was a waste of time. He was never going to amount to anything. He wasn't doing the things that he needed to do to be the person that he should be. And, you know, you just keep hearing that. You don't know what your autonomy looks like. You don't know. You're ashamed of how divergent your thinking may be in different societies and the different questions and stuff like that. So it isn't until later in life that you actually develop that self-worth. You're exposed to so many people that have been able to say, hey, you know what? I haven't been able to have that experience, or I don't know what that is like. For me, I think growing up in Black culture just gives me insight that I really value. I think about other people who are like immersed in it way more than I am. And I think of people who don't really understand what the music is like. Despite the fact that I didn't grow up with Earth, Wind, and Fire, I didn't grow up with, you know, listening to my friend's parents listening to that kind of thing and stuff like that. And no, I grew up with maybe in the last 5 or 10 years of my life have I really delved into that genre of music, you know? And that's what led me to be obsessed with gospel. I think you're the only power. I think when I first heard that song, it captivated me. And I had to go find what the original song was. And ever since like listening to that song, it just opened up a whole, I guess, it's not even a genre, but it's like a whole era. Yeah, a whole era of gospel that's phenomenal to me. I mean, like, yeah, John P. Key and Fred Hammond are probably like the later ends of that era. But Father, I Stretch My Hands, Pastor T.L. Bennett. Like, that song is so... And then, oh, man, they had another... There was another Pastor T.L. Barrett. Let me see if I can remember that. Pastor T.L. There's another song that I was just like, Nobody Knows. Yeah, Like a Ship Without a Sail. Those are the two songs that I was just like, okay, what is going on? What is this? What is this genre? Like, I really have to listen to this, and I have to figure out why is this making me feel the way I'm feeling about these songs? I don't believe in Jesus. I don't get that anymore. But I love the singing. I love the conviction. I love how passionate these people are about things. And it got me thinking about like businesses and what I want to do with my life. And I want to be as passionate about a topic as I see gospel singers sing about Jesus. Like sometimes I'll look at gospel concerts because these grown, like hard, gritty men are just passionately belting out because of what that feels like. And I think that's something that I'm incredibly interested in getting to know. That's something that I absolutely, for my own sake and for the sake of anybody that's interested in seeing what I want to see, like that's what I'm hoping to be a part of. And I hope I'm able to convey that properly, because that's ultimately important to me. And that really is something that I want to, I just finding that thing or making that thing, you know, it's one of those two. And I think in looking to make something, you'll stumble on that other thing. And that's what I always go back to, like Indiana Jones and all those different like occult, mystic movies. Is really about taking that step, and I have to take that step into a direction, and I have to, you know, I have to be willing to fail. I'm ready to fail. And I always have cold feet just every other day about what I'm doing in Mexico. What am I living here for? Why am I not in Nigeria if I'm going to be anywhere else? Why am I not building towards a future that I can go retire on? Why am I not getting to know Nigeria so I can go and retire there? Why am I in this foreign country? Like, just because it's cheap, like there's so many questions, but this just so much of this just makes sense to me. So much of this it doesn't feel careless. It doesn't feel aimless. It feels very much, okay, you are outside of where you need to be able to get done what you want to get done and save some money. So make those two things happen and get on with this. Especially with what's going on in the States, it's nice to be out. It's nice to be able to be somewhere where my money can stretch a little longer. It's nice to be able to not have to pay the rent that I was paying over the last year. They're just ways of living that can't be easily conveyed and don't feel like conveniences, but they feel like real like quality of life increases. And I'm not saying because I can buy 10 Nieves or I can buy 12 tacos and eat 4 of them or something like that and still spend less in the States. I really think about how I feel when I'm immersed in a culture that isn't my own, to be able to talk to people, to be able to communicate with people, and to be able to convey my ideas and the things that I want to know about their culture, and to be able to share some of my culture and the culture that I'm still learning about. Music is how I do that. And being able to connect with people over songs and being able to go to parties, literally, I don't go to parties for the drinks. I don't go to parties for any like the accoutrement. I go because I'm listening to what people are listening to, and I want to know if I can identify or get with. Restaurants are the same way. I'll go to a little coffee shop, and I'm like, yo, is that? Oh, is that? Yo, who's that? I'm always listening to music, and that's how I interact with this world, right? And being able to be exposed to their music is really cool too, because it's, you know, it won't always be Mexican music. It'll be somebody in like Scandinavia, Portugal, or Argentina that they listen to, and that has a very similar, you know, jazz-influenced style that I like, especially when it comes to instrumental music. So I'm not going to be mad at anybody that's being able to, you know, break the norm and try something different. I don't know. It feels like I'm reinventing the wheel when it comes to life, and I'm looking for something, or I'm trying to be somewhere, or I'm waiting for the world to get this way before I contribute to it and, you know what I mean, like, bring children into the world. But at the end of the day, it isn't satisfying right now to be able to just mindlessly do what has been done. It doesn't feel good. And I guess maybe it doesn't until I do it. But this traveling thing has given me access to something that is going on, something that's very different. Another thing that I've noticed is there are not a lot of men doing what I'm doing in the groups that I have been exposed to. Now, it could be that because this is on Facebook and a lot of dudes are probably like me and lurk a lot more than they contribute to conversations, but it is, it very much could be that. It very much could be that. Because I don't run into dudes on the streets pretty regularly, but we're just not contributing to online spaces like that for whatever reason. So, I'm going to ditch that idea. Probably leave that in because it's in here too. So I was wrong and I'm admitting to it. So that's okay for me. I can do that. What else? Besides music, I got my bullet journal set up. Today's my Sunday, so I really want to get some of these ideas out. I want to be able to just create this habit of doing this, and I want to do it a little bit more mindfully. I want to be able to get my list down properly. I have a podcast or an episode in mind where I'm talking about the first 30 days of this travel, the first 30 days of being remote, and what that felt like, what I went through to be able to make that a reality. And then, you know, I'm going to follow that up with the next 60 days or the next 30 days, see what life is like at 60 days and what I find valuable, what I don't find valuable, what I've been wanting to encourage people to do or what I kind of miss and things like that, what I've struggled through. Looking forward to getting you both of those episodes, but I want to actually keep them like really, really structured. So this is another episode of Small Chops. This is me pouring my heart into something that I really want to make a reality, and that is creating access for you, creating an avenue for you to be able to explore this, blessing of a pandemic that we have. Yeah, I'm sorry for all the losses that have been taking place. I'm sorry for all the people that have, dealt with death because of complications. But on the other end, there is so much life to be lived, and I really hope that we can do that in accordance with whatever gift you think that this is, when this thing called life. So I'm not going to edit this. I'm going to just release it. And I hope that, I will keep this going. I hope that you're with me next time, next week.